The following is a Relevant Radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at www.relevantradio.com.
And I'm glad to have Father Gene Hemrick with me. He was ordained in 1963 as a priest of the Diocese of Joliet, Illinois, and directed research for the Bishops' Conference for 20 years. He is presently director of the National Institute for the Renewal of the Priesthood, director of research at Washington Theological Union, and a research associate with the Institute for Policy Research and Catholic Studies at the Catholic University of America. He's been a weekly nationally syndicated columnist for Catholic News Service since 1980 and has written a number of books, including his latest, Habits of a Priestly Heart. Father, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Well, good. I'm doing fine. Kind of getting ready to get in the swing of fall and the school year and all that good stuff.
Oh, yeah. It always comes around.
It does. A little too fast sometimes, but
yes. Yes.
Well, what did you want to share with us this morning?
Well, I just finished a new book, and it's called Homespun Wisdom: Path to the Good Life. And basically what it's about is I went back over my entire life, and many wonderful things have been passed on to me by my elders and friends, teachers, and I just went and looked at the lessons, simple lessons that I learned throughout that time. Mm-hmm. And then what I did was put them down and then expanded on them using philosophers and poets and you name it to say that, you know, boy, there's a lot of wisdom that was passed on to me,
mm-hmm.
and basically it's what is propelling me now, and it's been good to me. And so I thought, I'll sit down and I'll go back over my life, reflect on the people I've been with, mm-hmm. and it gave me a wonderful opportunity, to be thankful for all of those who supported me. So I sat down, and it came down to actually 13 chapters. They're very short. I kept them short and simple, and I'll go through the table of contents with you.
Oh, excellent.
Okay, the first one is Secrets of an Enduring Friendship, and then Life Enriching Community Spirit, and then Listening, a Sine Qua Non for True Friendship and Community Spirit.
Mm.
Sit still for a moment. Patience in an age of growing impatience. Pacing ourselves in breathless times. Body language that speaks millions. What can the world of research teach us? The joys and travails of travel. Fight your own battles. Precious lessons learned from the world of journalism.
Mm.
Acceptance, a lesson in the virtue of realism.
Mm.
And then the final chapter, since I pull a lot from Father Romano Guardini, is on Romano Guardini. Because
mm-hmm.
I quote him quite a bit in the book. So those are the 12 chapters. And when I first sent this to the publisher, he said, well, that's all over the lot. Is there anything to pull them together? So I went back, and as I've done this before, I wrote the whole thing, the book, and I looked at what I had said there, and I said, oh, yes, I wrote a book on virtues. This is basically about virtue. And when you study the idea of virtue, what does it mean? It means that which leads us to goodness. And all of these chapters lead us to the good life in the deepest sense of the word.
Mm-hmm.
There's a unity there. So that's what I put it through. Now, I sort of went a little bit of philosophical here. I said, okay, to the good life, what do you mean by that? And when we talk about goodness, we talk about four or five concepts, one of them being truth, another being order, another one being beauty. And all of these, when we talk about the good life, when you boil it all down, comes down to, well, having better order in our life, beauty in our life, truth in our life, and unity. And then I went to the scriptures, and sure enough, it's right there in the scriptures. Take, for example, the book of St. Mark, the Gospel of St. Mark. There's a scene in there in which Christ meets this man, and he's got devils flowing in and out of him. He's just out of his mind. And Christ heals him. And at the very tail end, you feel this joy of this man. St. Mark is one of the evangelist who really portrays a lot of emotion in the Gospels, unlike the others.
Mm-hmm.
And the man goes off very happy. Well, why is he happy? His life has been put back into order. And when our life is in order, there's a joy there. And so that's one of the virtues of being good. Goodness is one of the parts of goodness. And then I've always felt when Christ is berating the Pharisees, you know, basically what he's saying, come on, be true to yourself. You've got a role to play in society. You're a hypocrite. You're playing another role rather than who you really are. And when we talk about, you know, the idea of realism and being who you are, we're talking about being truthful to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have this whole idea of that truthfulness in there. So that's how I pull these all together into that area. And, of course, at the end of each chapter show, this is how we come to the good life in the deepest sense of the word.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how the book got started. Now, how do these chapters, why are these chapters there?
Mm-hmm.
And why if I pick them and not pick something else?
Yeah.
Well, as you know, I live in Washington, D.C. So the lessons on friendship and community spirit, listening and patience, they were chosen because of me being here, where, unfortunately, incivility, divisiveness, and lack of patience are pervasive.
Mm-hmm.
And this is found throughout the world. It's not just Washington, D.C. So I say, you know, no matter the public outcry against these behaviors, it often falls on deaf ears. We're not mm-hmm. listening to each other.
Yeah.
And conduct like this has always existed, but not to the present extent.
Mm-hmm.
When we add to this being bombarded 24/7 with people bashing, character assassination, shouting matches, and refusing to conduct fruitful, constructive dialogues, it is cause to wonder what had happened to the virtue of civility. So that's the reason why I took those three chapters, one on friendship, one on community spirit, one on listening, and one on patience. It takes care of the first four chapters in my book.
Mm-hmm.
Move to the fifth chapter. Why did I take and talk about the whole idea of silence, healthy pace of life? Well, you're gonna get a kick out of this. Blasting audio radios that rock my car and often are heard outside my apartment at 2 a.m. prompted the lesson on silence and a healthy pace of life.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, over at the Supreme Court, I'm in the kitchen because they got the hammer jack going. It's blasting away, and it's blasting away all morning long. We live in a world of noise.
Yes.
It's terrible. So that was the reason why I went to those lessons on silence and a healthy pace of life. Then I go on to say, you know, at first sight, lessons on body language, research, and travel may seem out of place and unconnected. And why were they chosen? It is because they increase understanding. When we read the signs given off by body language, it can deepen our understanding of a person. As this increases understanding, so too do the tools of research achieve this. I was director of research for the Bishops Conference for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what we were doing was raising questions to get at deeper understanding. And the tools we used, you know, people think, oh, your statistics, all of this and that. No, it's not that complicated. And really, those tools should be used in everyday life because they're very useful for getting an understanding. And then, of course, travel. There is nothing like going to another country to understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it really does. But that brings me back to, we have a luminette in the Library of Congress, beautiful luminette. And it has a proverb in there. And the proverb is, wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get understanding.
Mm.
Understanding is really heavily emphasized in the Psalms. And so I look at the whole idea of travel and research. These things I see as a means of deepening our understanding. And this, I think, is necessary in life. And then fight your own battles. I picked that because... Basically, in one of his books, Romano Guardini talks about what is progress. And he talks about the whole idea that what we consider to be progress isn't really progress, namely new medicines and being able to fly one place to another quicker. All of these things give us a sense of security. But he says it's not really all that much progress because a lot of times, we give up our own independence, and we become too dependent on other things. So when I'm talking about fight your own battles, I'm saying, you know, stand on your own two feet. And before you take that pill, can you if you don't need it that much, you really need to keep relying on these things. Also, interestingly, I had mentioned this to a young woman that I play golf with who teaches philosophy over at Catholic University. And I said, you know, I feel that sometimes our younger people, they're not as resourceful as they can be. They're not relying on their own powers. She said, you know, that's true. That's true. We've got students that they can't make it because they don't know how to think for themselves. Mm. And then I mentioned it to a brother who teaches at a Catholic high school just outside of Cleveland. He said, oh, you're talking about helicopter parents. They're always hovering over their children. And therefore, the children are not able to make their own decisions a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And we do live in a new age, and I don't blame parents for being protective. But we can be overprotective and oversecure to the point where we don't stand on our own 2 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one of the reasons why I chose that topic of the whole idea of being resourceful.
Mm-hmm. More coming up with Father Gene Hemrick, and we'll talk more about his new book, Homespun Wisdom, Path to the Good Life. Stay with us. Catholic Order of Foresters, providing low-cost, high-quality term life insurance. Catholic Order of Foresters has been protecting families and bringing Catholic values to life since 1883. For more information, 855-696-2085. That's 855-696-2085. You're listening to Morning Air. I'm Sean Harriott, and Father Gene Hemrick is with me. And we talk with him every now and then just about life and culture and all kinds of good stuff. And he's written a book called Homespun Wisdom, Path to the Good Life. And, Father, is the book available now?
No, it's at the publishers right now.
Okay.
So I'll have to wait until they pass on it. And I'm going, I sent it to Ave Maria in Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
And they did my first book on the virtues. So I'm hoping that they will publish it, and it's there in their hands.
All right. Well, looking forward to that. Let us know when it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious about the chapter on travel, Father, because that's that's something that we're all familiar with. You know, the challenges of traveling, whether it's for business or pleasure. There's kind of that moment where, especially if it's plane travel, it doesn't seem like it's going to be worth it wherever you end up.
You're right, and it takes a little courage for many people to step out of their normal realm of things and to move into some other realm. And of course, starting with travel, because today it's difficult. It's so much with the security and the hassle, and also all of these alerts we're getting nowadays. It makes you feel maybe it's better to stay home. I chose it because of I was thinking in the category of foreign travel. And I've bicycled through Europe and spent a lot of time in Germany.
Wow.
And, you know, Italy and those European countries. And also I took my dad back to Ireland to see his mother's farm, and I took my mother back to Italy, where her father was born.
Wow.
And it was, you know, each time we traveled that trip. Now, those are long trips, and again, especially, too, when you go to a country where they're speaking another language, you're at disadvantage. You got to learn the money exchange and all of that. Because when I went to Germany, it was the Deutschmarks, it wasn't the Euro. So, but what it did was it taught me about other cultures that you can't get into books. And the reason why I did a lot of travel was because I had a pastor who used to give these homilies that were fantastic, because what he would do is he would travel to these places where the saints were, and then he would tell us what it was like to go there, to the grotto, to do this, to do that. It was very inspiring. And then I had a history teacher, who would go to Europe every year, every summer, and he would come back, and he would inculcate his travel into the studies of history, and he brought history alive. So that really inspired me. So I was always inspired. First of all, just one example. When I bicycled into Freiburg, my friend there said, oh, you are not like a ugly American. What are you talking about? You come, you know, you have a backpack, you look grubby, and you don't have expectations.
Mm-hmm.
And that really rang home with me. Sometimes, you know, Americans, when we go to other countries, we forget that we expect, oh, well, the bathrooms aren't like our bathrooms at home. I've heard Americans, you know, making these comparisons, this and that, another thing. And I think it was Mark Twain said, stay home if you feel that way.
Because, yes.
You know, it's their culture.
Right.
And enter
right.
into their culture and respect it and learn from it. And so that's one of the things, reasons why I talked about travel. But also, I took my dad back to Ireland. My dad was very quiet, worked in the Chicago Fire Department, had one or two other jobs besides that. And when we went back to Ireland, we traveled to his mother's farm, which was just a dirt floor, thatch roof. It was quite, let's go back into the next century, last century. Anyhow, when he came home, he was a different person. He was energized. And he, you know, it had brought something out in him. And there was a Greek or Roman philosopher who says that this is what travel does to you. It gives you a new vitality, a new feeling for life. So that was the reason why I did talk about travel. And as you started off saying, you know, it's all these difficulties today. Why would you want to travel? Well, there was a poet that made that same point. You got to take that first step because it is a big step. And but the trade-off is, I think, wonderful. Mm-hmm. One other thing about travel, I've traveled with a number of young college students when we did these bike trips. You really learn about yourself. When you're with another person, as you probably know better than me, behaviors come out.
Mm-hmm.
One person wants to see one thing, you want to see another thing. Somebody likes to get up early in the morning. People like to sleep in. You learn all of this about each other, and you learn a lot about yourself. And when I was going through Germany with my first college student, I was always pushing him, pushing him, pushing him. And finally, he rebelled. And he said, I am tired. I'm tired. And he shouted in my face. And he was right. We just should have split from it because I learned a lot about myself there. I said, what are you doing? Just kidding. You're pushing him, pushing him. So we take it easy here. But you learn. It's interesting when you travel with another person. It's got to be give and take, like in marriage, like in anything.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm talking with Father Gene Hemrick, and again, his upcoming book is called Homespun Wisdom, Path to the Good Life. Well, Father, let us know when the book comes out. It sounds great.
I will.
All right, take care. Thank you.
Good talking with you.
It's 26 minutes past the hour, and we'll be talking with Leo Battenhausen coming up next. And talking about a new form of online schooling that essentially, has the potential to really completely isolate a child. And Leo will talk about what his concerns are about that. Also, of course, Glenn's Story Corner. Hey, a quick reminder to you also about our Relevant Reels Family Film Festival. We got about a month to go, I think, around a month. And we're encouraging you to make a film with your family. We're starting to get in some entries, and families are obviously having a lot of fun with it. And there's still time. If you haven't gotten going on this, there's still time for you to do it. And really, our goal in this is just to have you do something fun and share it with the rest of us. And you can go to relevantradio.com, keyword movie, and learn about the movie-making process. Listen to those podcasts of conversations we've had with Jim Morlino of Navis Pictures. About various aspects of filmmaking, and also take a look at his family film. It's at the end of his DVD, How to Make a Movie, and kind of shows you what their family did. You can go to relevantradio.com, keyword movie. That's relevantradio.com, keyword movie. Leo Battenhausen is next, and Glenn's Story Corner coming up as well.